Lord's house this morning, every one of your smiling faces. It's good to be in God's house. Good to get together to worship. I know we've got two or three of our usual folks that are under the weather this morning, so we'll pray for them. And whether we mention whether you mention their names or not, know that they're always in our prayers. But we're glad you're here. Maybe somebody out in the parking lot listening, and we're glad that they're there. And then there's always some that later listen on the website, and we welcome them to come and worship with us together. Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I pray that that's the way you feel this morning, that, you know, I joke about being a kid having a drug habit, that mama drugged me to church every time the doors were open, but most of the time I was glad to go to the Lord's house. Most of the time. And that's a good way to be. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We know that every day we have, every breath we take, every thought we have is a gift from you. And so, Father, I thank you that we can come and worship at the feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and honor him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, I do pray for each person that's here, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, to their needs. Father, you know where we are spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. I pray that you'll touch those that have physical ailments, that from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, that they will feel the healing power of Jesus flow through them, even at this very moment. Father, I pray for those with spiritual needs, that the Holy Spirit will convict, instruct, and bring about love. Father, thank you for your love for us. What precious, precious love it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning.
Good to see you, good to hear from you, and good to be here this morning. And it's always good for me to be back. I didn't get fired, I don't believe, so I'm back in my place this morning. And it's good to be here. I certainly missed you all. There's no question about it. Let's sing our hymn song, sing this morning. And we're going to be Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And it's page 216 or it's on the board. Okay. Let's all stand together. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning to you all again. We're welcome to visitors. If you're here, you are our special guest, and we welcome you this morning. I have a few announcements for you I'd like to share with you at this point in time. And we're going to talk about choir practice now. Choir practice has been changed now to Wednesday evenings, and it's on the second Wednesday night and the fourth Wednesday night of each month. So, and it follows a Bible study at 7:30. So you all plan to be here for that. We need you here for that. Today we'll have a call conference. We'll have a call conference today, and the purpose of that will be to approve two new members of our Building and Grounds Committee. So that call conference will be at the end of the pastor's sermon today. I don't have any more announcements at this point. Do we have? Did I miss one?
Look at the today.
Oh, today. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Today. I'm sorry. I missed today. See how long it's been. I've been gone too long already. Youth and children to meet at 5 to 7 today, and the adult church training union will be today. So I'm sorry I missed that. Go back and pick that up for today. Okay. Any others? All right. Then we'll go to our prayer request this morning. Brother Jim, you have one, I know.
Yes, I'd like to add my niece, Angie Waldron, on the prayer list, please.
Angie Waldron. Okay. Are there others? Yes, Janice? Harry Williams.
Yes,
he passed. Had a stroke.
Yes.
Okay. Are the others? Yeah, Robert.
Steve Lee, my neighbor, he had a stroke.
Steve Lee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lori.
Okay, Lori.
And it's not that she's married to me.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say it this time. This thing's going to go again here. Well, I'm going to say anything, Jeff, but you know we pray for her every day. No, I'm teasing. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer.
David, I'd like to say this.
Yes, Janice.
Last Sunday, I carried Ann Morby some food from
yes.
Paul County, and she was so thrilled with it, so she told me to tell everybody thank you.
Wonderful. That's a good move, Janice. Thank you. All right, if there are no others, we'll have the Lord in prayer. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be in your house and to worship. And Lord, we're so thankful for your holy name. And thank you, Lord, for being the awesome God that we can come to, Lord. And before we ask you, Lord, for anything, Lord, we can always come and say thank you, Lord. Because, Lord, we know that you've given us so many blessings, more blessings than we count ever. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for our church. We thank you, Lord, for being able to be here today. Thank you for those that prioritize their time and to say, Lord, we're going to be worshiping today. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, we also have those that need today and stand in need of prayer. And Lord, we lift up today Angie Walden. We pray for Harry Williams, Steve Lee, and Lori. We pray for Lori this morning. And then, Lord, we pray for Ann Barbie, Lord, as she's away. We're reminded of her today, Lord. We lift her up to you in prayer for her strength, Lord, and for her encouragement. And, Lord, we have a special prayer for our pastor who will be here leading out in a sermon today. We pray for him and all he does for our church. And then, Lord, as we want to remember, Lord, our country, Lord, as we are in the middle of a very important time for this country, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be in control as always. And Lord, that our country can go back to God. Lord, we need you. We need to be back to God. That's one thing, Lord, that you've proved all through history. And Lord, let us not forget that. Now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we thank you for your many blessings. And these prayers I ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, today in the time of praise, I picked out a song that it's a prayer. It's actually a prayer, and if you sing with me, there's not a single verse, not a single verse in this song that I think that doesn't apply to our hearts as Christians. It's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and I know you know the song. So I want you to stand with me this morning and sing with me, Have Thine Own Way. And I want you to sing it as you're praying, because that's what it is. It's a prayer. Have Thine Own Way. Listen. I know all of you by now have had a chance to read the pastor's newsletter, and one thing he picked out, well, he's talking about a song, and the song was called Learning to Lead. And he asked a question in our bulletin today. There's a question that asks us at the end of it, who are we leaning on? Who are we leaning on? It's in the bulletin today. And so I thought what we would do is we'll sing this song for you, Pastor, since you can't get it out of your mind. I'm going to do what I can to get it out of your mind for you. No, I won't. I'm going to do what I can. We're going to do what we can. I want you to help me with the chorus. I'll sing that verse, and then, yeah, I know that's a warning. But I'll sing the verse, and then you can come back and do this chorus with me. And we'll start off with the chorus, as a matter of fact. So, Brenda and Kathy, if you will, please.
Learning to lead, learning to lead. I'm learning to lead.
The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He is teaching and I'm learning to lean. Sing with me now. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning.
I'm glad I'm at the stage of life that most of the time, if I've got a song running through my head like that, it's a Christian song and not a beer commercial. I remember probably being 14 years old and the pastor preaching asked the folks, said, "What commercials are your kids singing?" And it's just amazing, you know, whether it's a beer commercial or a toothpaste commercial or a cigarette commercial or whatever. But there's so many fantastic, wonderful, godly songs. And when one of those can sink into your mind, what a blessing. And you even think about the last phrase, till people see Christ only, Christ always living in me. That's a fantastic prayer. Lord, I want everybody at work, everybody in the family to see Jesus living in me. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 4. Now we've been sort of meandering through 1 John for a while now. I looked at several of the chapters, and then I went to Oklahoma for a missions conference, and then we looked at chapter 3, and then last week we had homecoming, and Dr. Andy Prince preached. And so today we're in chapter 4. And I look at this chapter, and when I put it all together, I see three main points. There's a warning. There's a command, and there's an encouragement. Look at verse 1 through 3 and verse 5. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is of that spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And then verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. John warns us, we need to be alert, critically alert to what we hear, what we take in, what we live our lives and act upon. He said, in the world, you're going to have true spirits, the word of God speaking to you, and you're going to have evil. And it can come from a preacher, it can come from a teacher, it can come from a parent, a grandparent, it can come from a book, it can come from a politician, it can come from a friend, or the things that they're saying, good or evil. I think every adult church member ought to serve on the pulpit committee at least once. Just to see the guys that are out there. There's some fantastic, fantastic ministers out there, but there's some real doozies out there. There's some real doozies out there. I came in one day, I don't know, I guess it's been 2.5 years ago, and my wife, she's on Facebook and she's frustrated and she's fussing with somebody on Facebook. And I said, honey, what's going on? She says, well, this guy says he's a Baptist minister and he's about to marry a Muslim. And I'm trying to convince him that's not biblical, that's not smart, that's going to ruin his kids. And I think, honey, somebody going to shoot you if you don't quit arguing with people. But can you imagine? Oh, our new pastor's here, but his wife doesn't come because she goes to the mosque down the street. When the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But Pam, you know, she was doing her best to witness to him and convince him that he was wrong, but he loved this girl, and he was going to marry her. I remember many years ago, Pam and I became friends with a lady artist and her husband who lived in the Charlotte area. We've got some of her paintings at my house. And we were talking to them at an art show, and they said, well, we used to teach Sunday school in our church, but we changed churches. I said, well, what's the deal? Because they went to one of the biggest churches in Charlotte. They said, well, they told us to stop bringing our Bibles to church and just read out of the quarterly that we gave them. Says, we don't want any Bibles in the church. John says, you better try the spirits. After I left Haywood County in one of the largest Baptist churches, the pastor stood up and said, held out his Bible and says, nobody believes this stuff anymore. 150 walked out and started their own church. Amen. What I didn't understand is why the 150, 200 stayed. And why the 350 or so didn't get together and say, buddy, you got 24 hours to clean out your office and turn in your keys because we don't want a heretic in our pulpit. John says, try the spirits. See what people are telling you. Over in the Gospel of Mark, in the 13th chapter, verses 4. Mark chapter 13, verse 4. Tell us then, when shall these things be? The disciples have gone to Jesus and said, explain to us about the end times. Explain to us about the return of the Lord. So they're saying, tell us, and what shall be the sign when all of these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now go over Mark 13, verse 21. And if any man shall say to you, lo, there is Christ, or lo, here he is, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I foretold you all things. But in those days, I'll just stop there. Look at the last phrase in verse 22. If it were possible to deceive even the elect. Jesus said in the last days, people will be deceived. Even some that are Christian will be deceived. How do you know? How do you know? If I had a poster board up here and had a line on it about this long, and a line on it about this long, and a line on it about this long, and I said, now one of those is a foot. How do you know? Somebody brings in a ruler that's a foot long and checks out my lines to see which one is a foot. They say, no, that one's too short and that one's too long. This is the foot. Folks, if it don't agree with the Bible, it's wrong. I'm not saying if it doesn't agree with the end ladder. I'm saying if it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's wrong. It was wrong hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. If Jesus doesn't return, it'll be wrong 1,000 years from now. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's wrong. So one of the ways when somebody comes up and says something to you, whether it's from the pulpit or in a Sunday school class or a book that you're reading or whatever, does it line up with what the Word of God says? And then also in verse 13 of 1 John 4, he says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he giveth us of his Spirit. Does what you are hearing, does what you are reading agree with the Holy Spirit deep down inside? It's amazing. You can listen to somebody preach, teach, read something, and you may not even be able to put your finger on it. But deep down inside, something says, there's a little something wrong with that. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of the Father. And he will guide you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. John begins with warning us. Listen, in the last days, and we are in the last days, we need to be careful. If I'm going to bring something up, and if somebody's phone is smarter than mine, you come talk to me about it afterwards and tell me what the story is. On my phone, a little thing pops up. And then if you punch a button, it goes to the next page. Well, my next page goes blank. It's probably my fault. I pushed the wrong button somewhere. But the little item that came up, preacher leads his people into the woods. Most of them don't come back. Anybody read that beside me? One, two. I mean, what is the deal? What is the deal? Jim Jones, remember Jim Jones? David Koresh, others? Folks, the Bible says, be careful. Now, we're going to be encouraged later, but check it out by the Bible. Check it out by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing here, he gives us as a command. First is a warning, watch out, don't be deceived. The second is a command, and it's a command that you see over and over and over in 1 John, and that is love one another. Look at 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Over and over and over again, John says, listen, if you're saved, if you're truly born again, if you're on your way to heaven, you are going to have a love for your brothers and sisters who also know Jesus. Now, not every Christian is at the same level of spiritual maturity. Not every Christian is at the same level of biblical awareness, biblical knowledge. As Christians, we are, what we believe and what we understand is often, is usually colored by our background. If we grew up in a Baptist, an independent Baptist church, we were taught certain ways. If we grew up in a Southern Baptist church, we were taught other ways. If we grew up in a Methodist, Presbyterian church, there were some other understandings we were given. Not every brother and sister is always on the same page, but do they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? Do they love Jesus? Then I can love them. I'm sure that over the years, Leonard's group has sung many times in churches that they didn't believe like Leonard and his group believed. They may have even been singers on the group that didn't believe like Leonard believed. But we love one another. We can love one another in Jesus. I don't think I've read anything in the Bible about heaven being sectioned off. Baptist over here. Charismatics over here. Pentecostals over here. Saved Catholics over here. No, I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I think we're going to be all together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And John says, listen, if as a Christian you really love God, then love your brother. And how can you say, oh, I love God and you've never seen God, and yet you don't love your brother whom you have seen? Hey, truth. Some of them are hard to love. Some of them are a pain, but you love them anyway. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to get along with everybody. But, there's a verse in the Bible that I take great comfort. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. You may not want to be at peace with me, but I can be at peace with you. I can forgive you. I can love you whether you forgive me and love me back or not. Because the Spirit of God in me makes the difference. And John gives us this commandment. If you read through all 1 John, just sit down and read through it at one sitting. How many times he says love, love, love your brother. And if you remember what we looked at 2 weeks ago over in chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, if you really love somebody, you're going to do what you can to help them. I believe it's James where he talks about, well, I love you, brother. I got extra soup in my kitchen, but you go starve. No, if I got extra soup in the kitchen and you're hungry, I need to feed you. It's
The Bible is clear. We don't just love with words. We love with our deeds. Oh, it's easy to say, hey, I love you. But if you have a need, I need to do what is in my power to help meet that need. How can we love God whom we've not seen if we don't love our brother whom we have seen? A warning about false prophets, a command to love one another. But the best part of this chapter is the encouragement that we get, the encouragement we get. Again, go back to verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. What's John saying? He's saying, hey, folks, rejoice, be encouraged by the fact that God loves you. You may have grown up in a loving family. You may have grown up in a family where you didn't feel loved. You may have gone to school and felt loved. You may have gone to school and felt no love. But be assured, God loved you and he loved you first. Before you were ever born, before I was ever born, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. How many people are afraid of God? God's there, he got his ball bat. He's just waiting to zap me upside of the head when I mess up. And that's the idea that was conveyed to a lot of people in my generation. But the Bible says God is love. And what did he say there? There is no fear in love. If you have a good marriage, you're not afraid to go in and give your wife or your husband a hug. If you have a good relationship with your children, your grandchildren, they don't come cringing. They come running in and, Mama, Papa! They want to love. I remember tramping through the field between our house and my granny's. I wanted a Johnny cake or a fried pie, whichever I could get. Both, if I could get both. I don't know whether some of you younger folks have ever even heard of a Johnny cake. Maybe some of you have never even heard of a fried pie, but I believe Mr. Ted brought some last week. And they sure were good. You know, I didn't... Now, I had one aunt. I always hoped she was asleep when I went. She lived with Granny. I always hoped that aunt was asleep because I didn't enjoy being in her presence. But Granny was a delight. And I loved going to Granny's. And Jesus says, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. He says, If we're afraid of God, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear hath torment, but perfect love casts out fear. When we realize how much God loves us, awesome that is. And if you'll think back about 2 weeks or so, three, to the newsletter that I wrote, God is not hanging your dirty linen on the line. God has forgiven your sin and has forgotten your sin. Now that's per the Bible. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He has remembered them against us no more. You don't have to go to God fearing and trembling. Now, when you sin, confess it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful, just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when we do that, we can go to God with no fear. He's forgiven us. He's not holding against us. And he says, listen, that love of God for you and for me takes away our fear. At the end of verse 17, there's a phrase, I want you to go home and meditate a little bit on this afternoon. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, and that he is Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Well, how's Jesus right now? He's victorious. He's an overcomer. He's in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. The Bible just said right there, as Jesus is, so also are we. We can be overcomers. We can be victorious. We can have a fantastic relationship with the Father. And it all comes down, the encouragement I really get is in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you'll take that verse and just impress it upon your mind and upon your heart, it's amazing how victorious you can live as a child of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I was talking to Grant this morning and asked about how much Aiden Andon weighed. I don't think I was even as big as him in first grade. I know you look at me and you say, are you serious? I remember somebody put it in my head, if you didn't weigh 44 pounds, they wouldn't let you in first grade. And I didn't weigh 44 pounds. Now, where that idea came from, I don't know. But I know we went to some kind of preschool enrollment thing, and they weighed me, and I'm thinking, they're not going to let me in first grade. I don't weigh 44 pounds. And so I get to first grade, and there's this guy named Johnny who's in first grade for the third or fourth time. Which means he's a bunch bigger than me. And they didn't use, back then, I don't know that they ever used the word bullying, but it's a catch word now about bullying in school. But back then, you know, we didn't have a cafeteria at West Alamall School. So we played in the playground till they let us in at 8 o'clock or whatever. At lunch, we had an hour. We'd go out and eat our banana sandwiches or whatever on the playground and then play for the hour. And then sometimes we have Johnny bullied and beat on me all the time. And then one day something happened. On the Monroe Street where I lived, I had a friend named Gerald. Gerald was 4 or 5 years older than me, and he was bigger than Johnny. And I learned if I stayed with Gerald, Johnny left me alone. It didn't matter what Johnny wanted to do if I hung with Gerald. Now, you know, the kids' playground, the older kids played down on this end. I went down there. They might not have let me play, but I was going to hang around with the big kids because Johnny wasn't going to bother me. What John just tell you? The one that lives in you is bigger, more powerful than the one that lives in the world, the devil. Remember another thing from the playground? My daddy can beat up your daddy. Listen, when the devil comes around, just say, hey, the Holy Spirit that lives in me is a lot more powerful than the evil spirit that lives in you. You best leave me alone. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him, he'll flee from you. The one living in you, I know the devil tries to intimidate us, tries to make us think we need to be afraid. Fear of dying, fear of this, fear of the other, whatever. The devil tries to intimidate us. But the Spirit of God that lives in the life of every believer is greater than the spirit of the devil. And if the devil wants to fuss at you, just say, just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Think back about 2,000 years ago when the Spirit of God hit the lifeless body of Jesus. How many of y'all kept him in the grave? You couldn't keep him in the grave, could you? Well, that's the spirit that lives in me. And if all of you demons in hell couldn't keep Jesus in the grave 2,000 years ago, you don't have a chance. And we can walk in victory and in overcoming because, not because we're smart, not because we're educated, but because, as John says, the greater one lives in us. And once you learn that truth and really apply that truth to your life, you know, you can live in victory. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. My Bible is right there in black and white. 1 John 4:4. Check it out for yourself. And when you put that together with that phrase, as he is, so are we in the world, you can live a life of overcoming. You can live a life of victory. You can live a life of joy. Watch out for false prophets. Love your brother. And walk in victory, encouraged by the power and presence of God in your life. Bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. If there's someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. Just step out and come down the aisle right now and we'll talk with you. If there's somebody that needs to come and spend a moment at the altar in prayer, we invite you to come. But wherever you are, I pray that you'll pray a prayer that goes something like this. Father, give me spiritual wisdom. Open my eyes that I might see the faults when it's presented to me. Father, give me a new love for my brethren. And Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the greater one who lives in me, who gives me victory. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.